Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, and today for Cynthia Canty. This week, Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes wrote a column on the legacy of Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. I want to read a line from it, quote, "It's a mixed legacy, replete with breakthrough successes and career-marring failures." So, Daniel, what are some of those breakthrough successes?
Well, I think clearly Michigan has got a more competitive tax environment. Its budgeting is much more disciplined. We have a governor who understands Michigan's role in the global economy and is very aggressive in going after that. I think if I were to pinpoint one thing that was really critical to the success of his term, it would be the Detroit bankruptcy. Probably no governor, Republican or Democrat, going back as far as you can think, would have pushed a city like Detroit towards a bankruptcy and then supported it throughout the process and then come through on the other side with consensual deals that, frankly, no one who knew anything about the process would have believed possible. I mean, in 13, 14, 15 months, consensual deals, every union in the city has collective bargaining agreements, and the list could go on and on and on.
Well, let's go back and talk about tax restructuring just for a second, because mm-hmm. that was a really big deal at the time, because we had this horrible tax structure before, and he basically said, here's what we're going to do, and the legislature said, okay.
Well, there clearly were some controversial components to it, and people, I think, still believe that we've got a flat corporate tax of, I believe it's 6%, which makes Michigan very competitive from a business standpoint, but also the so-called retirement tax on pensions of public employees.
Right.
And it's very controversial. A lot of people, in fact, Jennifer Grant, Gretchen Whitmer, and Bill Schuette both said that they would repeal it if elected governor, and it would knock about a $300 million hole in the budget. But I think it raises an interesting question that I like to put to people, which is, okay, if I live next door to you and I have to pay taxes on my 401k when I retire, why should you not have to pay taxes on your pensions? And I think that's one of the conundrums that people will have to deal with. And frankly, the governor made the argument, we all have a stake in the future and we all probably have an obligation to pay, which I think, frankly, makes more sense.
I'll just point out that navigating Detroit through the municipal bankruptcy was also not without its controversies, including the emergency manager's law, which was repealed and restored over the
will
of the people. I did a piece several years ago about how much a governor can really affect the state's economy, and mm-hmm. the judgment of the economist was, really not all that much. So how much credit do you think Governor Snyder deserves for the low unemployment rate, the better economy, and what he calls the Michigan comeback?
That's a great question. I would tend to agree with the experts that you talk to. You know, history has a way of dealing cards, if you will, to leaders. Economic cycles. I mean, Jennifer Granholm, governor, when the bottom falls out, the global financial meltdown comes along, General Motors and Chrysler go into federally induced bankruptcy, suppliers are in bankruptcy. It was a train wreck. Was that her fault? No, it wasn't her fault. And I've written that column several times. But you do have options as a leader of how you respond to situations. I think you can't look at Snyder's tenure and say, oh, he's responsible for it. However, there were things that I think he was able to do from a policy perspective that made Michigan more attractive. And we talked about taxes. Another one that I think is really critical is he was very aggressive in going after business investment around the world and very successful. His predecessor, Jennifer Granholm, never once in 8 years went to China. China is vying for the United States as the largest economy. Its auto industry is looking to move outside of the country itself and move into the United States and in Europe, but particularly the United States. Snyder understood that. I think he went somewhere between 7 and 9 times in 8 years. So there were things he was able to affect on the margins and essentially to hook his wagon, if you will, from a policy perspective to what was going on nationally and understanding that there's a period in time here where you can make some changes. Number one, when your party has got control of the legislature, and number two, when you've got a buoyant economic environment that enables you to do some things that you might not otherwise be able to do if times are tougher.
Let's look at the flip side of the legacy of Rick Snyder. You mm-hmm. write the Flint water crisis will be a permanent stain on the Snyder years. What's the depth and breadth of that stain?
It's clearly going to be the single biggest mark against him in his tenure. You mentioned the emergency manager law. I think in the case of Detroit, it was very successful in the way it worked in terms of the person that he put in the job who was not invested locally, who came in from Washington, did a job, and left. That was not the case in Flint, and I think the governor compounded problems with some of the emergency managers he put in charge, a lot of whom were part of the Flint political ecosystem, and then not reacting to very early signs that something was really wrong in Flint. And I remember writing at the time that I think a more politically minded governor, Republican or Democrat, Granholm or Engler, doesn't matter, would have, I think, clearly recognized the peril of dirty, stinking water in a city like Flint and said, I don't care what the science says. We got to go fix this problem and we got to fix it now. Instead, the governor sat back and was very much Rick Snyder, which is the guy who looks at the data, he makes a calm assessment, and then figures out and charts a path forward. That was not going to work in Flint. He was hobbled by it, and I think he will be haunted by it for years to come. The incoming chair of the House Oversight Committee, Elijah Cummings from Maryland, has already said, I'm not done with Flint. I want more information, and come January, we're going to have hearings.
You also talked about our bone-jarring roads in Michigan. I mean, when he pushed for more funding, even with a majority in the legislature, most of them had signed no tax increase pledges and only gave the governor about half of what he said was needed to fix the roads. So what did that failure reveal about Snyder?
That he doesn't wield political power very effectively and that he's not feared by his own party. I think if we look back in the history, recent history of Michigan, if had that been John Engler and his party controlled the legislature, do you think he would have been more successful? I think we both would agree that he would have been. I think however you look at Snyder's tenure with his own party in control for the entire 8 years, they could have been much more of a juggernaut than they ultimately were. And that's because I think Snyder, in a lot of ways, was a very moderate, John Kasich-like Republican in a Republican legislature that was definitely more Trumpist in terms of the way it was leaning and Tea Party and the way it looks at things. And as a result, they had the same party affiliation, but they really were two totally different cats.
So let's bottom line this. Successes and failures. What do you think of Snyder's job as governor?
I think he did a pretty good job on the financial and economic sides of things and restructuring both of government and certainly what he did in Detroit. I think politically, in a political senses, left a lot wanting, and I think that's one of the major contributors to what happened in Flint and some of the other things that were not dealt with effectively. And you didn't mention one other thing that I think is really, really important, and that is on Rick Snyder's watch, educational attainment of public school kids across Michigan, not just in the urban areas, has dropped like a stone. And that is also going to be part of his legacy. And frankly, the Republican Party that was in control of the legislature, they've not been able to come up with a formula or an approach that really starts to stop the decline and start to move attainment up in school districts all across the state.
Daniel Howes is columnist and associate business editor at the Detroit News. Always good talking to you.
Thanks, Lester.
A quick note, we did reach out to Governor Rick Snyder for an interview. He declined our request.